For those who haven't been a part of this, I'll introduce myself. My name is Mark Bierke. I now live near Portland, Oregon, but when I was growing up, I lived in southeastern Washington. And I first came to Holden Village in early June 1966 and worked for the summer running equipment. So the slides I showed Monday were of that era and just a little bit newer than we got some more coming. Come on in.
It's really dark.
Yeah, slides work better with color. Now, were you folks at my other sessions or not?
Yes, we were regulars here.
Okay, so you've seen a couple of them.
We'll get over.
Anyway, my first slides were in the 1966, 67, 68, 69 area. When we finished on Tuesday, we were up to this project in 1971, where we moved that oil tank from up near the compost bins now. If that tank were in this room, the end would be butted against that wall, and the other end would be here, from the door to here. Let me just turn on the light. See the picture up on the wall? The big, huge picture frame? The tank was as tall as the bottom of that picture from the floor. So, and we moved it with two guys in their 70s and two guys in their 20s, and no crane or no boom truck or anything. Let me begin today. I like pickles. You remember the pickles, the comics, the illustrated editorials, I call it, of the newspaper. Grandpa is sitting on the bench next to, you know, his peer, the other elderly gentleman. Come on in, hang a chair. And Grandpa says, "I've had some incredible, amazing experiences in my life. Kayaking the Nile, parasailing in Acapulco, dancing the tango in Argentina, walking on hot coals in my bare feet, riding a camel in the Sahara, being an extra in a martial arts movie, plus a few that actually happened." So I have to bring the pictures to prove it. This is where we left off on Tuesday afternoon. We had buried, rolled that tank out of the ground onto it. 28-foot tank onto a 14-foot truck bed. The truck bed is 14 feet long. Well, here we back up. You didn't see them before. Is it dark enough? Can you see it or not?
It looks like there's some light now through that door.
Yeah. Let's back up here. If this helps you to get a frame of reference, well, there's where it started. That's the lady who's been my wife for almost 42 years. She claimed to be, at that time, she claimed to be 5'2½". Well, you know the people that add the half on there, they need to stretch that. So anyway, Espen, you were asking, you can see the hydrant house up here at the top, and then the buses back there. That one was buried in the ground. It was, Howe Sound had used it. There was a mate to it over here just below Launch 4. They asked us, they knew the tank was there. I mean, the village knew the tank was there. You could see part of it. And they needed the tank down by the diesel electric plant, which is just across from the footbridge. And so they asked us if we thought we could move the tank. And we said, "Oh yeah, we can move the tank." And they said, "Well, how are you going to do it?" I said, "Well, we don't know. We'll figure it out as we go." So anyway, we dug that thing out some, and then hydraulically dug it out with this fire hose. Two of us were standing on it. A third guy was at the hydrant house. All of a sudden, the earth moved, and he looked at me, and I looked at him, and we told the guy to shut off the water because we were floating the tank, and it was buoyant, and it floated loose.
Little louder, honey.
Pardon?
Little louder.
Okay. I'm the one in the hard hat, and Tuesday, I had those boots and that hard hat here in this room. Mm-hmm. And the two guys on the far left, like I say, are both over 75 at that time. Mm-hmm. You can see the river sauna down there, the hat. Before the second piece was built, second building. Anyway, we rolled it onto that truck and a trailer made out of an old truck rear axle, and then towed it. There's the yellow truck up there. Is the green one that's been driving around the village today, the World War II military truck.
And that stream is oil.
Was a little bit of oil. It was in the bottom of the tank. So we rolled it out with that winch, and then There you get some of the concept of the size of the truck and the size of the tank. There. Fair-sized truck, big tank. Anyway, we took it over, brought it across the bridge, got it, dug a hole for it, where the diesel tank now is for the diesel electric plant. They wanted it buried, so I was afraid if I just rolled it into the hole, we dug a hole with a backhoe, if I just rolled it into the hole, I wouldn't end up with the fill spout up, and I might not end up with it anywhere near level in a tank that's 28 feet long. If you got a couple feet out of level, and the out gone in, if the out is at the uphill end, you'd have to put a lot of diesel in there before you'd ever get any out. So we filled the hole with a fire hydrant, fire hose, rolled it over there, and I hooked onto the top of it, and you know, get it in the hole, rolled it in. I couldn't pick it up. I rolled it in, but I could hold it with the front end of a tractor loader and let the water just settle out and end up well. So now we're after that was 1971. Now I'm up to 1976. I'm going to look at my stuff over here. I was here all summer in 66, 69, 71. Came back in 76 for a little while. I'm trying to show, I wish I could cover that window right
there. I'm working on that.
Pardon?
I'm going to work on that.
Oh, great. You see Railroad Creek back there, the sauna and the little plunge in front of it, that concrete tank, but the change house hadn't been built yet. And you can see that at that time the tailings were the kind of the way Hal Sound had left them, the orange stuff, the stuff that was went through the mill, it got pumped out of there as a slurry, it's ground up powder fine. And they just kept pushing up the edges with the dozer and letting it settle out over it. Great. Open the door, throw it over the top.
That's what I'm saying.
And we can see it. I appreciate your efforts there.
I want to see if it works here.
I'll bet it'll be a lot better. That helped. That's a lot better.
Thank you.
That's what we need. Hold an engine.
Oh, it's just somebody from Sam.
Exactly.
We'll make him fix it.
That took no time.
That's what we were just speculating, that it was going to work until somebody came in.
There's always plenty of room in the back. I'll just go to the back door. Yeah.
Put it up. You can go farther.
Yeah, throw it all the way over, like half inch.
Up as you can go another
all
foot.
All the way over that foot.
But there's a hinge kind of in the way.
Until the fringe is in. Yeah.
The closer.
Until the closer gets them in. But it can be up as high as the fringes, barely misses the window.
So.
Well,
even
if there's a little slit, it's better than it was.
That really helped.
That looks
perfect.
They'll just lock the door.
So then some years later, the tailings are actually on Forest Service property. Hal Sound had permission to move the stream over against this side, because it was a snake, you know, as it would be in a fairly low elk slope valley. They channelized it, moved it over against what's now the village and the road, using log cribbing on both sides, which almost all of it has now deteriorated and floated down to the lake. Forest Service, because the tailings are powder fine when they dry out, and the wind, if it does blow, as you know today, usually goes down the valley. And it was kind of scouring out, especially the middle. There's three major tailings piles. The middle one kept blowing it down the road. And it was pretty unpleasant, especially in the summer. And it was, that orange stuff was all the way. And it was an environmental issue all the way here to the lake and on down. So the Forest Service had a contractor come in, and they worked two summers. And they reshaped the tailings, tipped them back a little bit, took down some of the high walls, built some intentional water courses across it so the water wouldn't run into them but would go over the top of them, and then coated them with the top of the pile with gravel, hauled gravel from the top of the switchbacks where the last glacier to come down through here about 6,000 years ago or whatever hit the glacier going down Lake Chelan and stopped, and then when it melted it deposited a bunch of rock. I would also point out the reason I say they came and worked two summers, those of you who've only seen the village in the summer might not realize that we don't see the grass 6 months out of the year. it's barely 6 months out of the year that you see the lawn. I mean, it looks bright and the grass is green and everything else. I left here the 16th of April this spring, a couple months ago, and the official measurement, because they have an official weather station down here just past where they're building the snack bar deck for the third time, it was officially down to 60 inches deep and melted. So, where they're working on the chimney behind the hotel, where that boom truck is and all their scaffolding and everything, the snow that slides off the backside of the hotel was as deep as the roof of the sauna. There was a way you could kind of crawl in underneath the roof to get to the city sauna, but that's all, that whole thing was full. Well, some of you have seen some lumber around here that was, it's Holden Village lumber, particularly on this deck down here. The village has a sawmill, has had for a long time. The sawmill is, what the brand name is Mobile Dimension. It's got this track contraption that you roll, these logs are headed toward the mill, you put it up on there on the trolley, and most modern sawmills are even 20 or 30 years ago, you clamp the log on, the saw is a great big round blade, and the log moves back and forth. You know, you set it up right, and then you have the carriage, and it runs the log through the saw, and then back up and move it over and saw. Well, this one doesn't do that. The saw moves and the log stays put. The saw is powered by a Volkswagen air-cooled car engine, or you know, pickup engine, or microbus engine. And it's set so that, among other things, it has a magneto instead of a distributor, and you start it with a rope, like a lawnmower. Somebody's old enough to start a lawnmower with a rope. Well, you start a four-cylinder, 43 or whatever horsepower Volkswagen engine with a rope. You get it set up to the right place, elevation-wise and horizontally, and you trip the lever, and there is a rack and pinion, or rack all the way down with notches in it, the whole length of the log, and this engine is pulling itself down, sawing with a big blade this big vertically, and one about that big around horizontally, so you saw like a 2x6 or a 2x8 or whatever out of it. Goes all the way down, sawing, you know, the two cuts. When it gets to the other end, it trips, and it comes back at actually twice the speed because it's not sawing, and pushes the board out that it just sawed. And you crank it down, you know, down another 6 inches or whatever. Well, if you've ever dealt with a permitting agency or a building inspector or anything, you realize that all framing lumber has to be grade certified. You know, it's two and better, or number one or whatever. Well, obviously Holden Village lumber isn't grade certified. There's no official grader. So we're allowed to use the lumber for things like concrete forms or bracing or decking or truck beds and that kind of stuff. But in fact, you also will see, like when they're working on the laundry right across from here, there's factory cut lumber that gets hauled up here on the barge. So.
Where is that?
Sawmill. It's just below the garage. So if you walk down the west on the road to the footbridge, one that has the little metal roof on it, go across the footbridge, you go by those two sauna buildings that were in the background there, and just start up the hill. When you get just about the steepest part, look to the right, and you can walk over there. There's a wood lot. The village burns a lot of firewood in the winter. There's a boiler, a water fire or wood fired boiler in a separate building behind Chalet 1, Chalet 2, with a great big wooden woodshed over there. And that has hot water plumbed to Chalet 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe 7.
And 7.
7, isn't it? And at the end, that's good. So the first 7 chalets are heated out of that boiler in there. There's a boiler in this room, in this basement, that heats this room. And in Lodge 6, there is one. The next building over in heats also heats Lodge 1. So 1 and 6 can be wood-fired from that point. Almost no fireplaces because they're so inefficient. Well, like I say, until through 1965, 66 winter, the village had really no winter snow machines or anything. There were sometimes one or two or five people here in the winter. It's down to one frequently. And In 1966 in the summer, Max Farlow, who was involved in the village, he wasn't here, but his wife and his two daughters were. We got word he'd been killed in a motorcycle accident, so a number of his friends and relatives and so on contributed money to the village to buy one of these snow track. They call it, built in Sweden. It's got a Volkswagen engine backwards in the front. You know, the Volkswagen was backwards because it had the car in the back. Well, this one, they turned it around and put it back up in front. Rubber tracks. They bought one in 66, named it Maximus after Max Orlow. So the next year when they bought another one, it had to be Minimus. And so 3 days a week at most, because that's all the boat run, or all the village goes down to meet. Even now, during the winter, it's only 3 days a week, or 4 days a week part of the year, meets it. So they take that one of those two things down to the lake and back, towing a trailer that had skis and wheelbarrow tires on when they got to it. Until the 1st of May, then they'd start working on opening the road. Snow falls first up here, and you know it's deeper up here, and we get down to the lake. You know, you're going from 3,200 foot elevation here down to 1,100 feet at the lake. So they got a lot less winter down there. The one on the far right, left over there is, around here they call them a bombardier, but the folks that built them call them bombardier. They're a French built machine. And they've got, you know, they built them in eastern Canada. One of them came here from Yellowstone Park, and I can't tell you where the other two came from. Back here in the back end, there's an engine compartment, and they're basically a Dodge or Chrysler product pickup driveline backwards. You've got an engine with the radiator out the back, and a three-speed on the column. Remember when three-speed on the column? You knew what that used to be? Three on the tree? Transmission, and the differential is way up in the front, and it's what runs the tracks. So it's you literally have a three-speed on the tree transmission. There's when we finally got the second log cabin built over there. The one on the right is a sauna. The one on the left was a, you know, a two-roomed change house. And the little pond where the youngster is sitting, I dug years ago with a little dozer and got stuck in a bunch of rotten sawdust because the billet, house sound had to have been a sawmill up here when they were building the buildings because some of the big beams underneath the building and so on looked to be locally produced. Not the lumber to build them with, but some of the beams under. And I got in there between two stumps and just fell in rotten sawdust. And I'm trying to remember if that's my son or not. This water right here is the outlet from the hydro plant, the tail water from the hydro. And those buildings you can't even see anymore because they're so, the trees are so tall, so you gotta look in. The little wooden shed here had the big round of it, a pretty good sized tree, at least bigger than they grow in Alaska, about that big. For many years, halfway between here and the top of the switchbacks, there was a sign that had an arrow that pointed to the largest Douglas fir in the Chelan National, or Wenatchee National Forest. Well, Mother Nature finally took its toll and it came down, so they asked the guy from here if he could go cut a round out of a slab, you know, it's about a foot and a half thick. And they brought it up here and brought the sign with it, and if you go over there, I think you can still see it. It's, mm-hmm. The footbridge is right there, it doesn't have a roof on it then. So you've been down there, isn't the sign still there by that?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, well that's the footbridge before the current footbridge, but same location. So that's where that is. That young lady is about to be 38 years old. The reason I took that picture, or the reason I show you that, isn't because my daughter was a cute little gal as a youngster. That is, as you probably recognize, brand new lawn. You know, just sprouted up all the clover in them. We used to come up with the buses, and just like you did, and stop at the stop sign in front of Chalet 1. Turn right. Go across the east end of Lodge 4, turn left. Drive right up through the middle of what's now the village green, you know, where they play frisbee and all that last night. That was a road. We come right up there and stop at the front bumper right where the kiosk now is. So we unloaded all the people and the luggage right there, right above the bell. And then we would pull ahead and unload groceries into the back of the kitchen from that side instead of this side. And then we'd go right on by, and that was a road where it's now concrete, where the boom truck has been parked and working on the chimney. Well, that was just the way we did things for many years. until we had an opinionated cook. And she said, I have had enough of you guys driving across the back of my kitchen and kicking up all that dirt from a gravel road that all blows into the back windows and the back of the, you know, doors of the kitchen. So we got the message and changed the route. So she was sitting in what was then brand new grass. There you go. You see the salmon now?
Yeah.
Okay, in the winter, see, it's, they paved that up there, put the red bricks in. The bricks weren't here. All of the retaining walls and so on were, not all of them, there had been some more added, but all the original retaining walls were, but they were all just gravel roads. So this is where the kiosk now is. In the winter, the snow was right at the lip of that sauna building. I mean, you couldn't see the, all of the roof of the sauna, you know, all the way up on it. This building, it was up about halfway on these windows. In April, middle of April. In the fall, you know, there's a spring work week and a fall work week. In the fall work week, they take the window screens off of an uphill side, ground floor of many buildings, and replace them with what we call snowboards. From a block away, they look like a pallet. You know, there's strips of boards and cross pieces, and they hang on the same hooks that the screens do. So underneath every building, there's a set of screens in the winter and a set of snowboards in the summer. So otherwise, it's a little difficult on the glass. But yeah, it's pretty dark in here. That's not the boat you rode, I don't think.
Looks like the old one.
That's the old one. That is, if you came up on the regular boat, they called it the Lady Two. The Lady Two, the Lady Two. Well, that's the Lady of the Lake. It's now, it's technically the Lady of the Lake Two, is what you now ride. And that's also not a dock that you saw. Clear up into this era, the boat started out in the morning at the company dock, which means the boat company dock in Chelan. Its regular schedule was then to pull out and drive over to the city dock, which is where Campbell's Lodge or Campbell's Resort is, down right at the end of the main street there in Chelan. That's where most people got on. Then it would come up to 25 Mile Creek. If you rode the boat recently, you heard the guy tell you about over there where that big sailboat is on the left. That's the end of the road on the, okay, that dock is where we used to, the boat company used to pull in. So we would drive, even if you stay in Chelan, which I haven't for years, I always, I stay at home, but if I stop in Wenatchee or something. The road along the south shore of Lake Chelan comes all the way up to here, and then it's, there's a cul-de-sac right there. All you do is turn around. What we used to do is come up here, drop our luggage right there, turn around and head back towards Chelan and drive, and your passengers, drive as far as you head to find a place to park just along the bank, along the side of the road, because there was only one side you could park on. And hope that when you came back again, somebody hadn't blocked you in and they weren't coming out for a month or two. They might be up at Stehekin or something. Well, when the North Cascades National Park was created, and they've got an office up in Stehekin and so on, the federal agencies, Forest Service and National Park Service and so on, bought a piece of property from the Field family, and it made on Fields Point, and that's the last place the boat regularly stops now on the way up. Built a paved parking lot with stripes and all those kind of modern things, and it's now a paved parking lot, and the, for us, most of us, that's where we get on the boat, because the rest of the ride up and back is takes a long time, and it worked. So that is the Lady of the Lake at 25 Mile Creek when they used to stop there. Okay, now, yeah, there's a long story on that one. I won't tell you the whole thing. I got to figure out which year I'm into. My kids were young, and so we came a few times as guests, because we lived in the Northwest most of the time. And now up into the early 90s. That truck came here when I was here in 1966. It was built in 1943 by Ford Motor Company for the U.S. Navy. It was a bomb service truck. It was meant to pick up bombs at a, you know, the igloo at an air, naval air station and drive over to the ramp and set the bomb down so they could hoist it up into the bomb bay and then go fly it someplace and throw it at somebody. Well, we used it for several years. I used it every single day the first few weeks it was here and hauled the penstock pipe 14-inch diameter pipe, 40-foot long, all the way up to the diversion dam, one at a time, and put it all together. Well, then it had some problems. The front wheel drive went fritzo, and the engine wasn't running real well, and the transmission was making some horrible noises and so on, so it got parked for about 10 years or 15 years. You also notice that it had an A-frame, you know, a big two poles out on the front end and a cape pulley at the top and this winch up and over the top of it. Well, they'd start picking up heavy things that would lift the back end off the ground, so they decided they poured a great big piece of concrete about this high that fit between the wheel wells and set it on there. So then when they picked up great big heavy things, instead of tipping it on the ground, they broke the front bumper on both sides. See, the bumper missing there. So anyway, it sat for 10 or 15 years, and so I finally got home and said, you know, if I got the pieces for you to fix it, would you use it? Because I didn't want to bring, you know, buy the parts of what you need to use. Well, yeah, we probably would, but it might be a few years till we got around putting them in. And I said, well, if I bought the pieces and came up and put them in, would you use it? Well, that would be fine. So that truck, in some people's name or convention, is Mark's pet. I've worked on it, driven it, worn it out, fixed it, and whatnot for 45 years now. But you saw it today. In fact, I drove it today. It's now green. That's the hydroelectric plant that you walk up it. And that, again, you can see before the Forest Service rearranged the tailings. The big concentration mill way up there in the upper left-hand corner, all that steel, and I understand it's all got to come down in the mine remediation. They got to clean it up.
Hey, Mark.
Yeah?
What color was the bomb truck when you got it?
It was yellow. Okay. And somebody painted it green. I can't tell you when or who, but yeah, it's... You saw some of the pictures the other day. It was almost school bus color. Well, House Sound had a power line here, so that was all the way from Chelan, so that was their power. The village, you know, couldn't put that back together. It had been the switchgear and everything was all gone, the substation. So those two hydro units, and I would invite any of you who haven't yet, you can walk up across the footbridge right up this path, and there is a viewing deck with a big picture window. You can look in there and see it. There are two Pelton wheel driven generators, and they are now about 100 years old, plus or minus a year or two. They'd been used, and then they sat in a boneyard in Lewis and Idaho for a number of years, and I can't remember, the village paid either $800 or $1,200 for both of them and the piping and so on, and put them in there. So what you're looking at, those two dark holes at the very bottom, are the outlets. So one generator or the other is typically run. One of them does better at very low water conditions, so that gets used in the winter, because the stream it's coming out of, you know, with snow melt and glacier melt and so on, and not a lot of that happens when it's 20 degrees outside. So very, very little water and very, very little electricity, and that's why the wood boilers and so on in the winter. In the summer, you know, a lot more water coming down, and so we run the other turbine because it works, it puts out more power. And so right now we've got enough power to run the jacuzzi outside and the electric heat in the lodges that are drained in the wind. So you can go up and hear that thing hum. There you can see the trees have grown a little on the settlement and the little plunge pool there. This building up here was built as the Portal Museum. You know, obviously, you tell where we are. We're right where they park the school buses by the repair garage. You can still go up there and look at the building. It's open, but all the displays have been removed last fall and are over here in the balcony in the village center. So you're welcome to go to the far end of the gym, go up the stairs, turn on the light, and go around the balcony and look at the displays. The building was built on the site where the assay house was for House Sound. You know, when they were running stuff, they were continuously doing the chemical analysis of what was in it, what was happening. And because it sits right on the edge, looks right into the mill building and so on, and that mill building all has to come down, well, so does the Portal Museum, which the village built, and the garage that we're now using that the village built, and we'll see pictures here in a minute of it, and the original garage that was House Sound's that was we used until it caught fire and burned down, and then they built it, an A-frame, you know, poles up on it, sheet metal, corrugated silver sheet metal on it as a temporary garage. I can't remember if it was 27 years or 29 years it was the temporary garage until we got removed the bill, so it took a while. That was and is the main portal to the Howe Sound Mine. Howe Sound Mine was an underground mine. The first prospectors, you know, started working way up on the hill where the ore daylighted. The ore was in a slab like frosting in a cake, and the mountain was out in front of it. So the first ones, guys went up there and they drilled a short ways back to the ore. They went broke, somebody else did it, they gave up, and so on. Howe Sound drilled a tunnel from here back to the ore body at what they called the 1,500 foot level. We call it now the third level, but 1,500 feet down from where the ore show up on the mountain. The first, I don't know, 60 or 80 feet were timbered because it was in loose, you know, dirt, rocks, all sorts of vegetation. And then beyond that, it was hard rock back there. That was one of their main first projects, was drilling that haulage tunnel. And the rock pile from it is when you sit in the dining room and look up there, that whole pile of rock that's flat on the top, that's waste rock. It never went through the mill. Stuff that went through the mill is powdered and powdery and orange. So they drilled way back to it and then up and down the vertical shaft, they tell me it was taller than the Empire State Building, and then they, you know, shafts off of that and so on. That, somebody, Espen, you saw the picture the other day, that had a two-story sheet metal building on it. We had pictures of that. And it was in pretty decrepit shape. It's, that main portal, you know, is just past this and in there. They had an office and a warehouse and parts of that warehouse and so on. That, after it got torn down, some of the jocks and jockettes around here were kept looking for a place to play basketball. There were hoops, or there are hoops, in the village center, but all summer long, you know, you got all those church pews in the way and stuff like that, or the stages in use. So to play basketball in the summer, after that building was torn down, they went up there and put up the two basketball hoops. It was a little bit tricky to play because you can see there's a stem wall all the way around it, and it used to have steel sticking up because it was steel I-beam building. This wasn't just a wood frame or something. So it was a little tough on the body if you skid it out of bounds. Okay, this is up higher, looking down. This is the temporary garage, A-frame, that was built on the floor of the original garage after it burned. It burned in the fall. It had the snow plow truck and the Volvo panel and a whole bunch of other stuff in it when it burned. So in a hurry, they built that to survive the winter. You can see up here, Crown Point Falls, right there. And then that's the glacier above Holden Lake. Hart Lake is just over the reason the falls are there, that's the outlet of the lake and it drops over the top. So there weren't a bunch of snow in the way, and you can hike up. Like I say, Holden Lake is up in that V up there. So that gives you some sense where you are. And the bus is down here in the bottom. This funny looking building, there was this slab here and all that glass on it looks like a greenhouse. At that time the village had a solar powered wood dryer. The sawmill was just off the right end of this. The scraps, you went over the bank and then got cut up for firewood. And the lumber that was sawed went across that, it looked like a truck type dock, but it was really the floor of a big building that had long since fallen over. And they built that on there with all the used windows. And they had stacks of lumber in there with sticks between them, you know, to let them air dry, and a couple fans in there, and the sun in the summer would help dry the lumber. That was the diversion dam. I'm standing at the uphill end looking down the flume into that box, which is, you know, has the railing around it. That was the one that, if you saw Norm Day's program last night, they took that box out after it had been there 36 years, big wooden box, and put in a much more efficient and fiberglass and stainless steel and so on, instead of wood and three-quarter inch steel rods. You can see that from the dining room. That is the water tank. The site is where the substation was when the power line came all the way up the far side of the lake, came across to Donkey Mountain overhead, and there were the big balls on, so the airplanes wouldn't run into it and so on. Came up the valley, and then there was a substation there. Well, when after they shut down the mine and the town and so on, all the substation stuff had value, and it was all, you know, removed and sold and taken out. Right in behind it is the round building with the round steel tank inside the round building that used to have a cone roof that was Howe Sound's water system, and which the village used for many years until this was built. This thing came in segments and pieces, and the village actually, village staff actually assembled that thing.
Is it still there?
It's there. Yeah, that's in use today.
It's still in use?
Mm-hmm. That is the water system. The water comes from the same diversion dam, comes down the penstock, some of it is tapped off, goes into the water filtration plant at the far corner of the garage, and then the pressure pushes it back up, and that's the reservoir that you're drinking out of. Now, the water pressure on the, you know, the pipes around town, so it's over 100 PSI, so every building has to have a pressure-reducing valve to drop it down to, you know, 60, 65, something like that, so you don't blow all the pipes apart. Yeah, that tank's got water in it right now that we're drinking, or sprinkling on the lawn.
Is it enough water?
Mm-hmm. When I put the blanks in there, because it was a change in year. Say, we had a temporary garage for a while. And when I finally came, got enough stuff put together to build a new one. I got one. It was in 1997 in the fall, came up and helped. Those of you who have seen the garage, most of you have, does that sound right? Mm-hmm. Kind of know what I'm talking about. Right behind it, like 5 feet behind this back wall, is the old wall of the mill building that was to, you know, grind up ore and concentrate it because they couldn't send down, you know, low grade 20% or 2% or less ore all the way to Tacoma. So they concentrated in that plant. So the garage sat right in front of it. Up here on the, let's see if I can get up high enough to, that slope white thing up there, mm-hmm. If you go up there today and look, you know, it's fenced off, but you can see in there, or if you go up to the Porter Museum, which is just on the far right there, there's an incline railroad. There's two railroad tracks about this far apart and concrete between them. And they tell me there was a winch at the top, and that was the millwrights, you know, the mechanics, the repair guys. Access to bring tools and or parts or supplies and so on to any level in the mill, because the mill was, you know, the ore came in the top and they used gravity to get and to help move things down. So that's what that white thing is. Anyway, they excavated this out, put down the insulation, that's the pink stuff, that's the rigid styrofoam. We put all that rebar, you know, reinforcing steel, it's the steel, it's got all the ridges on it, make it mine, put it all in there. This is one of the floor drains that if you went up there today, you'd find. And then this room back in that corner is, and has been until, you know, till now, the water treatment where all the filtration system is. And right here is a manifold. I'll show you here in a minute. Let me back up. Got one out of order here. That thing has in-floor heat inside the concrete floor. They bought some specially designed, it looks like a garden hose size, and we strung the garden hose out in all these perpetual loops all over and back again and tied it all to that reinforcing rod and then poured the concrete floor around the hose. In the spring, when you have lots of electricity, or in the fall when you have lots of electricity, it's electrically heated water that circulates through there. But in the winter, it's a heater that uses waste oil. So it's waste crankcase oil and so on, that after you, you know, when you change oil in engines and so on, it burns the waste oil to heat it. You say, there's the sawmill again. I got that one out of order. The saw run, well, there's the guard on the saw blades. You can see how big it is in the engine. It runs down that track and back. Takes a one plank out of every pass. That's on the third level in front of the mine portal and where the scrap metal pile. Everything around here, if it's just like at my house or your church, I'm sure you have stuff that's not good enough to use but too good to throw away, so you store it, you know, in the closet, in the kitchen, in the basement, in the garage, whatever. Around here, everything that's not good enough to use, it's third level, so it gets hauled up there. This thing was sitting up there when we were building the garage, and I'll explain why. When the Forest Service hired the contractor to come and reshape the tailings and coat them with gravel, they had the gravel pit down at the top of the switchbacks down there at Dan's camp, and dump truck loads go around and around and around and bring it up. That's a construction screen and sorting belt, so it sorts, you know, different sizes of gravel. And when they got done with the project after two summers, the village bought it, so it's been here since. We were screening, and they'd screened and sorted gravel to use for that concrete for that new garage. And that was what we did. This is some scaffolding. These are empty bags. We have a, they bought a used ready mix truck, you know, like that would come from the ready mix plant to your job site, and you'll, with a barrel, big barrel turn, one of those. We didn't have the ready mix plant. So we'd go up there to that pile where I just showed you where the sand and gravel were and put so many loads with a front end loader into a hopper that into there. Then drive it over to this thing and we'd lift, had all the sacks of Portland cement to mix with it to make concrete, dump the right number of sacks in the top of the truck, then put the garden hose for a fixed number of minutes and turn the drum on, you know, and mixed it in the ready mix delivery truck instead of mixing in a mix plant. And there you can see where we're pouring or have poured, and the float is over there and floated off. And like everything, you know, this machine, like everything at Holden, else at Holden Village, it didn't come out quite right, so we had lights out there because we were doing it in the dark. Here you can see the rubber hoses go to that manifold because we poured it in sections, you know, one batch every day. And there you can see the Bluebird bus that's still up there that now is a storage bin for recyclables that are going to go out eventually. And the piers out there with the anchor bolts in them for the steel. Yeah, there's the manifold. All those hoses come together. And I used to have a plan that I knew where every circuit, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever, went. You can see how close they are out here. And we had to tie every one of those to the rebar so it didn't move when we poured it full of concrete. That's the truck, and it says on there, there's a whole bunch of children's handprints on it. And over here it's, you know, Holden ready mix, because some things are set in concrete. And that truck.
Still around?
Yeah, oh yeah, it usually lives. You know, because there's so much snow up here and everything, things that are not going to be used in the winter go down to Lucerne and around by the, around, we have a little lot down there next to what was the Lucerne hydro plant, which is no longer in use. And so it sits down there sometimes a year or two or three at a time. When you've heard that the bridge washed out, the truck bridge washed out here several years ago, it happened to be up at the garage because they were going to use it to pour some more concrete for Chalet 2 rebuilding. The bridge washed out, and that was on the other side, and the bridge wasn't, let's see, it was one fall, it went out, it was all the next summer and the next winter before it got put back in, or a new bridge got put in. And so it had a, has a pretty good sized fuel tank on it. And so that was the only diesel fuel supply on that side of the bridge for a while. So we were, you know, they just pumped fuel out of that tank for what little they needed. But there were several buses that sat for, you know, almost 2 years because they didn't have any use for them over there. And the van and some tractors and so on. There you can see looking up towards Agape after, you know, Aspen remembers this. This was all solid. In my oldest pictures, the village excavated in under the crawl space, and that's the commercial laundry now where all the sheets and pillowcases and towels and bedding really long, it's washed. And you notice, well, if you notice, there weren't any paths up there at that time. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, no brick sidewalks. Now we have the kiosk and the wall. That's right where we used to park the bus, and that wall wasn't there, and the kiosk wasn't there.
And the picnic table was new.
Picnic table was new.
And the trees are still there.
Yeah.
And the trees are still there. Esther only remembers that picnic table being pretty shabby, don't you?
That big tree there is now painted.
Yeah.
What happened to those trees?
Disease or bugs or something killed them. Yeah, isn't this the welcome tree now? The one that's all painted?
Yes.
I can prove it grew there. I actually watched the guy carving that thing one time. You see the jacuzzi back there in the back? It was built in 1968. And then by this point, the luggage dock was built right across here. So typically, luggage gets loaded and unloaded there instead of on the bank. There's inside the laundry, and we're washing with, you know, commercial-sized washing machines. One thing about the laundry that didn't come out quite right, and everybody who's ever walked in there since has figured that out, you walk along the concrete steps, kind of in under the porch, you open the door, and you fall in. You know what I'm talking about? The floor is about 4 or 5 inches lower than the porch. I can't remember exactly how that happened, but I'm reminded every time I see it. There you see the trees on Chalet Hill getting a little bigger. In the early days, when all we were doing was taking water out of Railroad Creek, running it down through the pipe, into the previous water tank, down to the village, drinking it, whatever, and running it back into Copper Creek, from Copper Creek into Railroad Creek, where it was going to end up anyway. Up at the top of the Chalet Hill, there's that little cul-de-sac up there and a firehouse. We had a 20 or 30 foot cut off chunk of old fire hose, and we turn on the hydrant a little bit and just let it run all day and all night. And so this ditch was always full of water, and so the kids were forever floating boats or pine cones or whatever down it. But now that we have to filter all the water and slightly chlorinate it, some doesn't work that way so much anymore. There's the school when you could still see the flagpole. That's not a very good one. I think that was the second edition of the snack bar deck. It had the steps on it. The first edition, it took much of the summer to build it, but got used some in the fall. And the next spring, it wasn't very tall because the snow flattened it. Again, much of what happens around here, most of the people who come here only see the place in the summer with grass and so on, and don't realize the tremendous amount of snow. I mean, last winter, you measure snow once a day, every day, add them all up, 324 inches. Now we have an arc out there where there used to be three trees, mm-hmm. and there were boards fastened to both sides of those trees in a triangle and then slats across the top, and that was the table for coffee break time.
There's a good picture of Wes Preeb standing next to that in the pool hall.
Yeah, in the pool hall, there's a picture of him standing by that. There's one surviving tree, and it doesn't look very healthy to me, but it's the one that has the bell in it. The bell was not how it sounds. It was Holden Village early on. To burn that much wood, you have to cut, split, chop it. Almost everything around here that has trees on it belongs to the U.S. Forest Service. Now, the village owns a little bit of land where the mill building is, and the garage, and the hydro, and some mining claims up on the hill. But where all these buildings are is U.S. Forest Service and all the way to the lake and back. So we buy firewood permits just like anybody else would, except I think the trees that we take down, if they fall across the road, it will pick them up, get them out of the way so they keep the road and we get to keep them. And then it used to be we could log, and then skid logs out, then the rules changed, and you now can only skid logs on snow. So you can't tear up the forest turf, the duff. except that, you know, there, when you came up here, you saw there'd been a forest fire that came a long ways along, made it just across the road, and so some of those they marked dead ones. So the Forest Service tells, you know, marks and tells us which trees we can take down. The object is to be far enough ahead all the time that the trees, the wood that you're splitting this summer with the Mavericks, that's one of their major jobs, splitting this year, stays all next winter in a stack and gets moved the next year into wood bins underneath these buildings and so on and burned after that so that it's aged enough not to burn it right away.
Mark?
Yeah?
Can I ask about the bell? Do we know where the bell came from?
The what?
The bell.
Bell? It was here when I came in 1966. When I looked at it and the way it mounts and so on, it looks to me, and I'm no expert on bells, or it looks to me to be the bell off an old railroad locomotive. But so the answer to your question is no, I don't know. You know, it's not like a schoolhouse or church bell where they had kind of an A-frame on both ends and the bell swung in the middle. It's got one flat metal plate that holds it. But that bell and that clapper have been there a long time. A few times the clapper got removed, but it, the, you know, that's always the prank, but it hasn't been gone long. When the village first got the, you know, house, the gift, if you're standing facing the kitchen in the dining room, the dish pit was to the right, right between the reach-in cooler and the door there. And the cooks, again, they bring all the food up from downstairs, and they said, why do we carry all the food, you know, 20 feet or whatever, or 15 feet past the dish pit to over here to prepare it? So when it got remodeled, one of the times the dish pit got moved to the far end, which works fine. Also, right out in front of this counter is now a buffet island. But what Hal Sound left here was a stainless steel buffet about half that size that had those big stainless steel coffee boilers and urns that are up on the wall over right above the compost bins. There's two boilers that all they do is heat water and four coffee urns that all they do is pollute water by putting coffee
Mark, in. The forerunners found a half full of coffee after sitting for
3 years, yeah, they claimed they weren't drained. They were hardwired and hard plumbed. I mean, you didn't put water in them, you turned on a valve right out of the, you know, the water pipe was plumbed right into them. So, yeah, they say there was stuff left in them, but say for a non-coffee drinker, it wouldn't have been any worse than the coffee they make fresh every day. By this point, the dining room, see, the dining room was all these rectangular tables, hard fixed, and on the other side where those wood boxes are inside, there's a steel column, and Hal Sound had it was just a steel column, and there were like matching tables directly across, but every other one had a pipe through the middle of it. So, but you saw the 70s vintage car. They were dark brown when Hal Sound had them. In the 70s, they became whatever those colors were, orange and avocado, and so on. That was too dark to see. You get, that's the garage, we get some sense of how much snow. That's the wood lot where we saw just a couple pictures ago, it was all stacked firewood. So that's what they look like in the winter. That one is it. In the dining room when it still had the, I say the orange tabletops. And then the buffet line was orange. There's the coffee urns I'm talking about. If you haven't seen the ones up the far right back there. And that's, you know, well into the spring and there's still snow. That's, you know, the building we're in right now. And that's the door right over here. There's a little hutch over the door, the previous one. So, and that's melted down quite a bit. I say when I was here in April, it was clear up halfway up on the upper windows. And that's the current dock. And then the garage before it got the siding put on it. Unfortunately, it's now in the way and has to be taken down again. And you see there's no siding on it yet, just a tarping. And I think that's the end. Yep.
Yeah.
That's, you know, a number of years ago when the trees were a lot smaller. Let me turn on the lights. I would give you the option. I'm anybody who has had enough is welcome to leave. And if you have questions or interest, I'd be happy to stay for one. Well, I have to explain one thing. People ask, somebody asked me, says, the picture of you, meaning me, up there on the bulletin by the kiosk, what in the world are you holding? That's my pocket watch adjusting wrench.
What's it for?
Yeah, I bought it and brought it here because we needed it. I say I work in the plumbing in the spring, so it's a 48-inch pipe wrench. Yes, ma'am?
You've talked about the log cribbing that channelized the river and how it deteriorated. Is that part of the reason why the road washed out past the truck bridge?
If you're way up there and coming down, the stream, you know, a natural stream hitting a bank will wash it away, but it'll bounce off, just like a ping pool ball, you know, hit the other side and bounce it back and forth. Well, several years before the bridge washed out, it washed out that road that used to go right on by the lower part of Winston Camp, the subdivision up there. So that road sloughed off and they, you know, put up the mesh, couldn't go through there. Well, then when that fall, there'd been a fair amount of snow, and then it got warm, and we get what we call around here the Pineapple Express. It's warm air coming from Hawaii over the ocean, soggy, wet, and warm, and rains a lot. So you got warm rain on top of wet, sloppy snow, which then melts, and that storm kind of came over and just sat. What, 3 or 4 days or something, it just rained. Well, the water came up and washed that out some more and bounced across it, and then went over this way to the right side of the stream and hit right behind the pier for the bridge. So the bridge itself didn't actually wash out. The water got in around behind and under. And I had somebody ask me several years later, it says, I wonder why they only built that pier, you know, down as shallow as it was. And I started to say, well, I'm not sure. Oh yeah, I remember. I started digging that hole in 1969 with the backhoe, the only piece of equipment we had. The log cribbing was still there, and I'm digging behind it. When I left, I had about half the hole dug, and then obviously somebody else finished it. That's as far down as we could reach with the only piece of equipment we had. So then we built three-sided form, they did, to pour that pier, and then put those beams, which were salvaged out of the mill building when the salvage crew was taking part, and they bought them from the first year the village was here, before it was even the village, skidded those across and built the bridge. So what happened is you could go down the road here, you could turn across, you could drive across the bridge, and just when you got to the far end of the bridge, you weren't to the land yet. So in the meanwhile, after they built the bridge, all that cribbing was gone. And so that pier on the other side had, you know, shaped like a negative of a log house. I mean, it was ripples of the log. And if you go over there now, walk across the truck bridge, you go about another 100, 150 feet, and look over there in the swamp, there is the bridge, all intact, sitting there in the swamp. So it came out. Fortunately, because the mining company, the successor to the successor, know, has agreed, you know, they've got to, by law, they have to clean up the mess that their predecessor created. Because replacing the bridge was part of the remediation effort, the permitting and process and everything else was significantly less than if we just applied to build a bridge. So they actually bought the, had a prefabricated four pieces bridge shipped up here, and the village helped with equipment, and they brought in big equipment and strung it out. So if you walk across now, it's a pretty nice bridge. The old one's still laying on it. So yeah, the log cribbing wearing out certainly contributed.
Is Holton Village any, is it in danger of getting washed out with the cribbing all gone?
Well, there's a whole issue about what they're going to do with remediation. One possibility is moving the stream over and using the current stream as their water collection to treat and so on. Yes, sir?
There's a wooden structure up on the second level, which is ancient. And it looked like it held sand or something. Any idea what that was?
I'm not sure where you were. Second level is where the garage and the buses are.
It must be third level.
Third level, okay. So you've gone past the garage, you go up on top.
Yeah, not to the junkyard yet.
On the right side?
On the right, yeah. On the uphill side.
Yeah, but past the garage, you make one swing and then you go over. The part of it's wooden for a big timber.
Yeah, it's wood timbers. It's off the road a little bit, just past the, you know, the
Before you get quite up to the top.
Yeah.
And part of it, I mean, it's there's a few feet of brush and trees and stuff, and then part of it is looks like log cabin. Part of it, okay, I know what that is. That was the powder house for Howe Sound.
Oh, cool.
So they brought their boom boom powder and stored it in there. And, you know, all week long there would be miners, you know, drilling into hard rock to drill holes in a certain pattern, usually up in the ceiling, you know, they're up there and they're sleeping. And then they would pack that with whatever they're using for boom. And then when the miners weren't there on the weekends, they went kaboom and, you know, rocks fell down. The only time the villages ever used that, we had a half a case of dynamite in there. And a little box of electric blasting caps. And we took them up and used them to blow some stumps and rocks on the road to the, to put the pipeline in to the diversion dam. We had to blow two big stumps and one rock. But that's the powder house. Mm-hmm. Most of you walk right by their driveway and never even see them.
Yeah, I saw it.
It's got kind of a sod roof on it. Well, part of it's caved in now.
It almost looked like it went into the...
Into the bank. It was built into the bank. Yeah, that was...
What do you have in the temporary garage? There are those three odd-looking vehicles. What are those?
The ones like I had pictures here.
Is that Maximus and Minimus?
No, they're long gone. It's the Bombardier.